بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت شاہ وسیع اللہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ سے جن کو ہمارے خاموشی سے کوئی فائدہ نہیں ہوتا تو ہماری باتوں سے ان کو کیا فائدہ ہوتا ہے؟ The one that doesn't take benefit from our silence, where will it be possible for him to take benefit from our speech? So in these sittings, more than recording the substance that is being spoken, the speech is being done, the communication is done to the heart. Hence, the heart needs to be affected. And for the heart to be affected, the heart needs to be clear. It needs to be listening with love. It needs to be listening with that type of attention. Ke Allah Ta'ala ki muhabbat ki baat hai. It's the talk of the love of Allah Ta'ala. The talk of relationship, connecting with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's what has brought us here. So we can't be just listening to this type of talks casually. So when we listen with this type of mind, then Allah Pak says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. So this message will definitely be effective. But for who? For the person who's got a heart, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. I just explained, as دِلْ خَيْزَتْ بَلْ دِلْ رَيْزَتْ. It comes out from the heart, it gets the heart. So Allah Pak says here, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرٌ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. For the one who's got a heart, the heart must be shaped right, must be placed right, must have the right type of mold. Then you will get it. If the utensil is right, it's placed right, it's in the right place, inshallah, it will get filled up. So either the heart needs to be right, and when it's people like us whose hearts are not right yet, then at least the least minimum is, أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. And listen attentively with the presence of the mind, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Listening, not just listening, but listening attentively with the presence of the mind. Now you see, up to مزے کی بات. Now it's enjoyment. Now it's happiness through and through. The second surah in the 29th sipara is Surah Noon. Allah Ta'ala commences the surah with an oath, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. By the pen and by what they write. وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. By the pen and what they write. When we take an oath, what are we doing really? We're calling someone to witness. You hold someone in esteem, you hold someone in respect. And when you take his name at the time of oath, then you're showing the listener that, see, to impress on you, I'm taking the name of so-and-so person. I hold in esteem, respect. As a Muslim, when you're taking an oath, then you are calling Allah Ta'ala to witness. You're not calling any other person. You're calling Allah Ta'ala to witness. When you're calling Allah Ta'ala to witness, so you're impressing upon the listener that, see, there are two things that I want to impress upon you. One is that you and I, we both believe that Allah Ta'ala knows all, everything. There isn't an atom that goes past without Allah Ta'ala knowing it. He knows every atom before it was born before it was created, when it is created, and when it will end up. So Allah Ta'ala knows it all. There isn't a thing that misses His knowledge, that misses His attention. There isn't a thought that doesn't pass, that He doesn't know about. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. Look at the comprehensive, complete perfection of His knowledge. We have created man. The very thought that passes his mind, we know about it. The thought is an abstract thing. It's a thing that is abstract. The best scientist can't tell you what's in your heart. He may tell you, this is the atoms, these are the molecules, these are the cells, etc. He can tell you that. That which is visible, either directly or through some scanning machine, he can tell you about it. But can he tell you exactly what's in your heart? He can't tell you. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. What supreme control Allah has got. What authority Allah has got. Even the thought that passes your mind, He knows about it. You're planning now, oh, I got a son, I got a daughter now, he's to grow up, and I need to set him up. What's going to happen to him in the future if I'm around, not around, what's going to happen? So all that Allah knows about it. Is there anything that misses him? That anything can pass him? Can't pass him. So how can you pass him then? Without being noticed. If nothing passes him, then how can you imagine that you will pass him unnoticed? You can't. So when Allah Ta'ala takes an oath, when we take an oath, then what we are impressing upon the listener, impressing upon him, see, I am calling such a personality, such a being to witness this, who you and I, both of us believe that he is, he knows everything. And he's got supreme control. So if I'm speaking a lie, then he will smash me down just now, straight away, because I'm calling him to witness this. Right? So both of us believe that his knowledge is complete, perfect. And both of us believe that his control and his authority is absolutely perfect. His intention is done. Kun fayakun. Intend and there is done. So that is the authority that he's got. This is the perfection that he's got. But obviously there isn't anybody that is over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there anything over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anything above him? Nothing above him. When there is nothing above him, then he's got the right to take an oath of anything that he wishes. All are his creation. There's nothing above him. Every single thing is his creation. So he's got the right, he's got the authority to do what he wants. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He's most perfect in his wisdom. He's got all the attributes of splendor and beauty. All. There isn't an attribute of splendor and beauty that Allah doesn't have. Yesterday I was just thinking about it. It really shook me up, you know. We hear a beautiful voice, a nazam or some qirat, sudai someone. And how you get shaken up. See the Haram Sharif, it's echoing, someone is crying, and they burst out just above that voice. But khuda ki qasam, that is not even a minuscule of the beauty of the voice of Allah Ta'ala. What will happen if you hear the direct voice of Allah Ta'ala? That you heard this and you got shaken up. And that is not even a minuscule of the beautiful voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what will happen to you if you listen to the voice of Allah Ta'ala? So why do you die for these type of things? This type of lust, this type of haram, why do you die for it? There is so much greater, so much more beautiful. If you just listen to only the voice of the hoors, one of the hoors in Jannat, came across on hadith. Only to get over the beauty of her voice, it will take you 1,000 years. Now that Jannat and that hoor also is not even a minuscule of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Just to get over that. You know, when that Sudais someone is reading, how you get shaken up. For that second, for that minute, you get shaken up, you're crying and can't control yourself. Now what will happen if you listen to the beautiful voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Create that muhabbat in your heart. That muhabbat of the real things. Leave the muhabbat of these things that are fleeting. That will leave you and you will leave it. You will leave it, it will leave you, but it will definitely happen. So create the love of the one that is eternal, the one that is real, the one that is inevitable, the one that you will have to meet, the one that you can't pass, the one that you can't escape from. You can't escape him. So create that muhabbat in your heart. But when Allah Ta'ala takes an oath of anything, then why does he take an oath? He takes an oath that you listen to the oath, and then the subject matter that is followed, you ponder about both the oath and the subject matter. You will find a relationship. You look into the oath and then look into the subject matter, then you will find a connection, and then the whole equation will be worked out. When an equation is worked out, don't you feel happy? Something has worked out now. You did it and it worked out. How happy don't you feel? So Allah Ta'ala speaks about وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, by the pens and what they write. And the answer of the oath, in other words, the subject matter that is followed is مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, by the grace of your Rabb, you aren't insane, you aren't mad. Right, so what's the relationship? وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, and then مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, what's the relationship? So we need to understand that when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the pen and what they write, then there are three types of pens. One pen is the pen that Allah Ta'ala created. That was the first thing that Allah Ta'ala created. Right? Overall, the muhaddiseen, many of them, amongst them Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, I checked all the hadith that come about what Allah Ta'ala created first. Then I found that it was the Noor of Rasulullah Pasan that Allah Ta'ala created first. Or that's a discussion on its own. The Muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and what was created first, right, that's a subject on its own, discussion on its own. That was obviously with respect to people, etc. But with respect to things, what was the first thing that Allah Ta'ala created? Then it was the pen that Allah Ta'ala created. That was the first thing. Allah Ta'ala created the pen and then instructed the pen, write. So the pen asked, what must I write? So Allah Ta'ala instructed, write out the destiny of man. Just write out the destiny of creation. So that thing wrote all the destiny of all the creation right till the end. 50,000 years before the creation of the heaven and the earth. Everything has been destined. Everything has been written out. That's the one pen that we are talking about, right? That wrote out the destiny of man, wrote out the destiny of all creation. 50,000 years before the creation, that thing wrote out. Do you look at the power of this pen? Everything that's going to happen will happen. Everything has been written out, chalked out. You're going to make an investment today, that 2 rand is going to become 2 million rand. That thing also, that wrote that as well. You're born today. You're looking at the child that's born today with cheers. Allah Ta'ala is looking at the child in Jannat already. Can you see the knowledge, your knowledge and Allah's knowledge? That pen already wrote that this is a Jannati. So that was the pen. You look at the power of the pen. Do you look at the splendor of this pen? The majesty of this pen? That it knows exactly who's a Jannati, who's a Jahannam. He's born today. He's been conceived today. The parents are overjoyed. Hey, we're battling, went to Gaini, here, there, Tawis, everything. Eventually it worked out. But Allah Pak's knowledge doesn't stop there. Allah Pak's knowledge is seeing the person million years in Jannat already. That's the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. That's what the pen wrote. So do you see the splendor of this pen? The might of this pen? You are seeing this 1,000 rand that you made. Hey, too excited. In 1 second I made 1,000. What about how much I'll make? 1 million I'll make. So you're calculating. And Allah Ta'ala knows exactly where the 1,000 is going to go, how it's going to go. In good or bad. It's going to be your Jannah, it's going to be your Jahannam. What's it going to be? It's going to be a means of grief for you. It's going to be a means of pain for you, or a means of happiness for you. What's it going to be? It's a strange plan of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes I just think, what a strange plan of Allah Ta'ala. We buy some tiles and all that and beautify the house. Sometimes, alright, we're doing it for some reason, alright. But sometimes it is just israf. It is just waste. Right? We just look at ourselves, inspect ourselves properly, nicely, correctly, and with justice, it's a waste, right? We don't think anything about it because it's israf. But we got hijacked and someone stole our money. We feel the pain, But both went in the wrong way. Whether it was israf, whether it was hijack or low jack, whatever jack it was. But the thing is, both went wrong ways. This went a wrong way, this went a wrong way. And here we don't feel any pain. Here we feel a pain. Look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. He's supposed to die, he'll die. Right? Whether he was killed, whether he was hijacked, whether he was robbed and killed, whether he died a natural death. Right? But that was the destined point of death. You're not going to escape that point. But now if it is under a traumatizing situation that he died, and becomes such a traumatic thing, the whole world talks about it. Natural death, nobody talks about it. But the point is where he's supposed to die, which place he's supposed to die, which time he's supposed to die, you couldn't escape it. One person was on the death row in India, about to be hanged. So they give them the last wish, you know. This is your, what's your last wish? You know, go just now, only 2 days' time. So he says, see, tomorrow is Friday. I wish you all can take me tomorrow. Right? And he called for his relatives. So he tells his relatives, you see, whichever way you look at it, I have to go tomorrow because it's destined for me. If you all didn't kill me like this, I would have died the natural way. So I'm not worried about this death, whatever it is. It was destined, it will happen. You can't avoid it. مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِيَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَاكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. That's our iman. If I have to go, I'll go. Right. But you see, I make tawbah for all the wrong that I've done. I've done wrong, I kill whatever else, I make tawbah for all that. And you be the witness that I made tawbah for that. Number one. Number two, I bequest of you, that you do follow the sunnah after me. In my burial also, you follow the sunnah. If I've got any debts that are unsettled, then you're going to settle them out. I've got money, you're going to settle all these things out. Right. Then he died. And they say there was a light on the man's face. He did wrong, but he confessed, he agreed. And he went with happiness that it's the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala that I must die. I'll die, finish, khalas. Now why must I stress about it? Why must I make a big story about it? See, when we make such a big story about it, sometimes it creates a doubt whether you really believe in taqdeer or not. If there was that real conviction in taqdeer, this thing would have shaken you. Alright, for a day, 2 days, you get shaken up, right? That's natural. Someone died, you got hurt, whatever else. Someone got robbed, you get shaken up for a day, 2 days, 1 week, whatever else. But then, keep on thinking why it happened, and why it happened, and why it happened. Kyun hua, kaisa hua, kyun hua, kaisa. Keep on thinking. Why it was taqdeer, it was meant to happen, it will happen. You can't avoid the thing. So why must you keep on going around in circle? If the thought went around your mind, it's alright, no good enough for that. But entertaining the thought, why it happened, how it happened, I could have avoided it, etc. It was Sheikh Chilli ki baat hai. So you see the power, the dynamic power of this pen. So that's one pen that we are talking about. Then the second pen is the pen that is in the hands of the Kiraman Katibin. That are noting down everything that you are doing, big or small. مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not only the deed, but even the word has been recorded. The malaika is there. In ambush, it's just waiting for you to say that word. Oh, it's got a record. It's marked you down straight away. You did it. Like how you got a prefect in the school. You did the wrong, he's marked you. All the prefect has to, he won't punish, but he'll present the book. You've done it, and it's recorded. And the prefect example is outdated. Now look at this inner circle. Everything is there, isn't it? Everything is there. Whatever you do, perhaps the inner circuit can't record the voice, but everything is recorded. Besides the voice, everything. The malaika got everything. Voice, the deed and the word, everything is recorded. مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. in the most dark corner, the most hidden place, and you did it. Allah Pak knows it all. Like how Ramadan time you become true Muslims. In the right, the darkest corner, you won't see a Muslim going drinking water or pulling a cigarette. In the darkest, most remotest dungeon or cell, you won't find a Muslim doing it. Because he knows Allah Pak seeing it as well. I don't want to break this rule. So that's the second pen that we're talking about. And the third pen that we're talking about, that we acknowledge so much, is the pen that is in the hands of people. إِذِلْ أَبْطَالُ يُخْسِمُ بِسْيُوفِهِمْ إِذِلْ أَبْطَالُ يُخْسِمُ بِسْيُوفِهِمْ فَنُخْسِمُ بِالْقَلَمِ فَإِنَّ الْقَلَمَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَحْلَفَ بِالْقَلَمِ. One, you'll find that the brave, the courageous, when they talk about might and power. If they have to take a qasam about the power, about the might, we are a super duper power. America said that. We are a super duper power. And I think after 3 days, they finished, poor chaps. Going to Afghanistan, super duper and all that. Subhi nahi raha bicharon ka. Allah Pak doesn't like this. You mustn't be proud. Don't be proud of yourself. خدا سے بھول کر کے باتیں نہیں کرنی چاہے. Don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing anything, but don't forget Allah ta'ala. In any work, whatever you're doing, He gives and He takes as well. So you find the mighty, the powerful, and when they talk with pride and arrogance, what they talk about, the pen. The wealthy talk about the wealth. But the might is greater than wealth. Might, power, authority is greater than wealth. Right? But then, that is the pen that is in your hand. Right? That is the pen that is in your hand. So, one is the might that you talk about. Might is so powerful. And you take oath and you say, oh, we are so powerful, so mighty, nobody can come before us. Even a bird passes, we can scan it. We can make it out. Our nuclear power is so powerful. Right? We talk about our might, we boast about it. We've got our bases right throughout the world. So you're so proud and you're so confident about yourself. But then there is some power that is beyond that. And that is the pen. Even that pen that is in the hand of man, it's so powerful. You know, Hitler says, I don't fear the opposition as much as I fear the pen that is in the hands of the journalist. He can just sway the crowd from one end to the other end. The media is also a pen, right? But how they sway the crowd? In one day, they can bring the stock market right down. Do they bring it or not? In one day's time, the stock market goes right down. You see the pen, how powerful it is. Media, pen, it's so powerful. It was so high, standing at 15 rands a dollar. And then for that thing to slice right to 5 rands, in 2 days' time, Mandela got sick, 5 rands. So quickly, so easily, the whole thing is just swayed. See the pen, what might it's got, what power it's got. وَالْقَلَمْ يُمَا يَسْتَرُونَ. The archives, what it's stored up, all that information, and what power it's got. وَالْقَلَمْ يُمَا يَسْتَرُونَ. So that archives has got it also in record. That the one that has got splendid qualities like Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's got in record of everybody, every person. People, if it's not in writing, it's in the memories of people, it's stored up. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beauty you see it in him. Grandeur you see it in him. Generosity you see it in him. Values you see it in him. You talk about a thing and you see it in him. Honesty you see it in him. You want to see any beauty, any aspect of beauty, you will find it in him. So man with that type of beautiful qualities, inward and outwards, then history bears testimony that that man is always successful. He's not a madman. He's honest, he's intelligent, he's beautiful, he's liked, he's cherished. His advices have got so much of weight. So that man can't be a madman. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. By the grace of your Rabb, you are not a madman. Poor the kuffar, when they didn't have any other thing to fight with Rasul-e Pasam, fought with their lives, they fought with everything else. And they found that it wasn't working. So the last point was to throw ridicule, to make ridicule against Rasulullah SAW. He's a madman, leave him. But that also didn't work. Whatever they tried, it didn't work. History bear testimony to it, that his numbers just growed and grew and grew. Look at it. At Hudaybiyah, the Muslims were 1,500. How much? 1,500. Then, 2 years later, at the conquest of Makkah, 6th and the 8th was the conquest of Makkah. In the conquest of Makkah, they were already how much? 10,000. From 1,500 to 10,000. Then, 1 year later, there was Tabuk. That was 6th. Now you're talking of 8th year of the Hijri. How much? 10,000. Then you're looking at Tabuk 1 year later. Right? Then there are 30,000. Look at the participants of Tabuk. 30,000. We're already talking of the people that participated. What about the people, the women that remained behind, children, etc.? That's apart from that all. There's 30,000 already, right? Then 1 year later, that was the Hajjatul Wida. How much? 125,000. That was only those people that participated in the Hajj. You see that? So a madman has followers like that. You must be mad to say such a thing. If someone is saying that, he's mad. From one person to 1,500, from 1,500 to 10,000, from 10,000 to 30,000, from 30,000 to 125,000. And today, approximately 1.5-2 billion. So a madman, can he have that type of success, that type of glory? It can't happen. It's impossible. You are mad to say such a thing. Anybody says something like that, then he is mad. The man that was responsible to give a curve into the library of the world. They were thinking of all stupid things, all superstitions and suspicions. And yeah, he gave them a curve, he gave them a direction. He closed up, sealed up all the libraries. That you all mad what you are speaking about. They felt stupid about themselves, that they were talking so highly about the Greek philosophy, etc. And they had to close their libraries. So he gave them a curve, he gave them a direction. Now you call him a mad. So you must be mad. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ Really, we need to speak about the quality of Rasulullah SAW, the character, the ways of Rasulullah SAW, not just like this only, but even in our homes with our families, one-to-one, talk about Rasulullah SAW. Why can't we do that? We talk about everything else, grandfather, and this market here, and this investment, and this property, buy these tiles here, that type of finishes, etc., draping and all whatever else. But do we take out the time to talk about Rasulullah? Let's talk about his beauty. Let's talk about one aspect. Let's look at that Shama'ir al-Tirmizi, the Shaykh Hamdan. He's given the explanation as well. But let's look at one beautiful aspect of Rasulullah. Let's discuss it. Let's think about it. Let's bring it into our lives. All right, give us one page, and the one page will keep thinking about it for the 1 week. The 1 week is too less. But never mind, let us start off at some point. But let's look at our Rasulullah. Look at his beauty. But Allah Pak had blessed him. Anas radiallahu anhu says that I served Rasulullah for 10 years. He never said me, why you didn't do this or why did you do this? You know, 10 years is a mighty long time. Someone is working for you to say why he didn't do it and why you did this. Is it easy? And especially if that boy is young, from 10 to 20, that was his age. How many times you would have scolded him, reprimanded him, why didn't you do this? You're spoiling things, man. You're wasting. What's wrong with you? I told you so many times. Doesn't it happen? But yeah, the man works 10 years for the Rasulullah SAW and not a day. He says, I got in record. And a young person that won't speak a lie. Does he need to speak a lie? He doesn't need to speak a lie. No, I haven't. Look at the beauty. Any small, little person, no social standing. What is some person of a social standing, right? If he calls you, you will go to him. Right? Even if he is dead, you will go to his janazah. Why social standing? But a person with absolutely no social standing, a slave, whatever it is, as menial as he may be, but he wants a private audience with Rasulullah SAW. Rasulullah may be sitting in the masjid. He wants a private audience in one corner that nobody else must listen. Rasulullah SAW is happily going and attending to that person. No social standing. Absolutely no social standing. But he wants a private audience. I want to speak to you, Ya Rasulullah. Sure. With a cheerful face, cheerful countenance. Sure. Yeah. And that's why we say, مَأْوَ الْيَتَامَ وَالْأَرَامِلِ Rasulullah SAW, is the refuge for all the yatims and the widows. Allah Pak, give us the tawfiq that we can become a refuge for these people. There's how many destitutes there, how many poor, how many yatims, how many old people, how many widows. But we don't think much about them. And when we talk of Rasulullah SAW, he was the refuge for them. For a person who's got some social standing, we can all run for him. Run for him. But this person has got nobody for him. Kaswa, kasma, pursi ka alam, he's got nobody for him. But who is there for him? He doesn't have the wealth, he doesn't have a social standing, he doesn't have anything. So that was Rasulullah SAW. He had these people as well. Rasulullah SAW tells us, unless we're talking of the character, the beauty, beautiful character of Rasulullah SAW. So he says to Anas radiallahu anhu, if you can spend the morning and the night without having any ill feelings in your heart for any Muslim, then do so. And my son, this is my sunnat. You love my sunnat, you have loved me. You love me and you will be my companion in Jannat. Rasulullah SAW then says in one different audience to the Sahaba Kiram, please don't carry tales about my Sahabi to me. I want to come out to you with a clean heart. What is he implying? What is the lesson in this? What is the lesson? Nobody knows the lesson. I will give you the lesson, one condition, and you practice it. Say, inshallah. Please, yeah. Must get something in return, isn't it? I'm sab tajir ke bachche, all merchant class. So you want something in return. So the lesson in it is this, that Rasulullah's Mubarak house, his wives, weren't speaking ghibat of anybody. They weren't making ghibat of anybody. They weren't speaking ill of anybody. So I want to come out with you. I want to come out to you when I'm clean in my heart. I'm clean while I'm here, I'm clean. So when I come to you also, I want to remain clean. Please don't spoil my heart. What? When I'm with my wives and my families, they don't speak ill. They don't make ghibat about anybody. Now let that remain with me when I come with you, I come towards you. Well, that's a difficult one, isn't it? With a family, don't make ghibat with anybody of anybody. Now, inshallah, you have already promised me, inshallah. It's a difficult one. Anyway, try. With our wives, immediate people, our children, let it be a place of happiness. No ghibat. We don't hear any ghibat, any stories, any tears. We don't listen to it. We don't listen to it at all, please. Please, we spoke about it within the masjid, so we're going to live with it. Inshallah. Really, the person that carries tales, makes ghibat, etc., there's several wrong things that he's doing. One of the things that he's doing bad for himself is he's depriving himself of happiness. He's robbing and cheating himself of the chi of the heart. What if you have got a clean heart about everybody, then your heart is happy. Oh, mashallah, this person here, when I come to him, he's like a garden here. He get a rose smell from here. Yeah, I get umber smell here. Hey, what these people have got? I need to get these things from them. I need to get something from him, rose from him, umber from him. I need to get an apricot from him, a cherry from him, and an apple from him. So, like as though I'm going into a garden full of roses, plants, fruit, etc. I'm so happy to go inside. That is, the heart is clean. But if the heart is spoiled, it's tainted. It's got all type of stains, all type of marks, all type of dirt and filth. Then, oh, I'm going to a suriz now. Now I'm going to a scorpion, now to a lion. I don't know what he's going to do. How he's going to tear me apart. What is he going to do with me? He's going to traumatize my brain just now. What is he going to do with me? See, if your heart is dirty, then everything that you are going out into is filth. And your heart is clean, then everything that you're going out into is just as pleasure, just happiness. You don't want to hear, you don't want to listen. I got enough of my own problems, please. Go and discuss it with someone else. But I got my own problems. I got something enough for myself, enough on my plate, they say nowadays. Go and put it on someone else's plate, please. Can't we do that? Simple remedy, simple. Don't entertain anything. Don't hear about it, don't listen to it. By chance, it just passed your ears. And say, no. Hadith Sabrahman used to say, was the head of this kafla, yes, a jute. What? It's all lies. And he used to say, the proof of all this being lies is, لَوْ لَا يَأْتُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَى فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُهَدَى فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مُلْكَادِمٌ. And if you make a claim, then you need to support it with witnesses. Right? Even if you have seen it, but you've got no witnesses, wait a zip, you just remain quiet. فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُهَدَى. You don't bring the required witnesses, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, in other words, in the law of Allah Ta'ala, you'll be guarded, you'll be treated as a liar. So just keep quiet about it. Why must you speak about it? Yes, in an extreme situation, you speak about it. In a very extreme situation, provided your niyat is right. In an extreme situation, and provided your niyat is right. Someone came for a proposal for your daughter, for example, right? And you know he's drugging. You know he's got bad habits. Or he's womanizing. Right? And he's come. And he's giving a good front. There, if you are sure about you, 100%, and you got no ulterior motive, you haven't got a hidden agenda. What is a hidden agenda? I want to smash this person down. I want to put him in his place. I will go and advertise him. I will go and display him in front of everybody else. So that's a hidden agenda. That's the malice that you have got, and you are displaying that malice now. I got no malice for the person. I don't wish bad for him. But the thing is that you are my Muslim brother. If I don't tell you now, tomorrow when you get to know that I knew about it and I didn't mention it to you, then you will swear me, you will curse me. So it's my duty to mention it to you, therefore I'm mentioning it to you. And then it's your duty not to go and advertise it that so-and-so said this about so-and-so person. You know, they say, Aajkal hoshyar bohat hai, lekin akalmand bohat kam hai. Today, everybody is very intelligent. But the people of understanding are very few. Very, very few people are understanding. They don't understand what to say, where to say, how to say. They don't know it. They are very, everybody's, they say, you know, rocket scientists and all that. But like in, he also, they can't, they don't know how to put things in place. They don't know. I was explaining to someone yesterday. In my prison, this happened, you know. One person went to meet another person that is in, is cancer in the last stages. Last stages. Doctor also written him off. So he said, Bhai, you know what? Hey, you must be careful, you know, about cancer because that other person had cancer in 2 months time, he died, you know. Bhai, if he didn't die, also he'll die now. Huh? Now, was that a thing to mention to this person at this time? So, no, it's my duty to tell you that this will happen to you. Who gave you that duty? Allah Pak gave you that duty. If it's Allah Pak's duty, alright, you have to accomplish it, but it's not Allah Pak's duty. Why are you doing it? Why are you killing the person before his time? That was one incident. One I read in the kitab. Just to show you that people feel that they are intelligent, but they're not understanding. They don't know where to place what, how, when, who. They don't understand these things. The old man died, maybe 85 years of age, got a wife 8 years, right? So all the Jamaat people went to offer the condolences to the old woman, you know, a tragedy. We all feel very sorry about you, etc., whatever else they had to say. They said all that. Before the old man, one small child died. Small baby died, 2 years of age. First born, so an old, that child died. When the child died, so all went to offer their condolences. So when they're offering the condolences, they tell the parents of the child, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Allah Pak will give you something better in return. Ni'am al-badal nasib farmayenga. So now these people went to this old lady. They heard the story. One person said, oh, I know it. I learned it very, very well. Learn the sabak. If someone dies, to ye kehne ki baat hai, you know? Someone dies, then this is the word that you have to say. Allah Pak give you a better replacement. Now they went to the old lady. All her sons are there. Someone is 60, 65 years. Old lady is there. Allah Pak give you a better replacement. The son gave one slap and chased him out. What's wrong? What are you asking for, my mother? Get you a better replacement. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? So what to place, how to place, when to place. So when you learn deen, then you get that understanding. Really, you know, you ask a person who's got circular knowledge. And then when he gets the deeni knowledge, now he can think and understand correctly. Without the deeni knowledge, you can't understand. You can't reason. The deeni knowledge gives the perfection. Obviously, the one that created, right, it's his knowledge. So when it's his knowledge that you have linked up to, so you have linked up to an ocean, not a treasure, to an ocean of knowledge. There's no end to it. So you can imagine now the strength and the power of that knowledge. You see our Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Comprehensive in every respect. Complete. لَمْ يَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا. Rasulullah wasn't impolite. He wasn't aggressive in his ways. whether his behavior, whether it was his speech, he wasn't aggressive. He wasn't impolite. Bird when he's coming, asking for something. Oh, Muhammad, give me this wealth. Give me some help. Grains and all that I want. And it's not your wealth, not your father's wealth. Speaking to Rasulullah and the Sahaba Kiram around. And then he doesn't stop there. Rasulullah has got a shawl and he's pulling him by the shawl. Sahaba Kiram say, we see the impression of the shawl around the neck of Rasulullah. Rasulullah is naturally very beautiful. And when a person is very beautiful, the marks and the stains become even more distinct, isn't it? Now we can't hold our anger, but then Rasulullah, he won't allow us to tell that birdman anything. Rasulullah just smiled, asked the Sahaba Kiram, just fill two loads of grains, kajur, whatever else, give it to the person, move. We talk so highly, but do we have that tawfiq, at least at some point, to suppress that anger and allow these things to happen? If we want deen to spread, really, then we'll need to have that type of heart. To forgive, overlook. To forgive and overlook. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah, he is busy in tahajjud namaz. And one person comes to burgle the house. Now what happens to us? Hey, Allah Akbar, must finish him, must destroy him. I know after the hijack, one person is saying, hey, Allah Akbar, must destroy this person. How can he do such a thing? Or whatever else. Yeah. So everybody, you can't tell everything. I just told Allah Akbar, make it easy. So now make it easy for you only, not for him. But I can't say Amin also. And I can't tell him, discount that dua, you know. Can't tell him both ways. Anyway. It's all different types of people. You have to speak to them differently, according to their levels, a level of understanding. That was true muhabbat. Obviously, he was talking with muhabbat. He didn't have any garage in him. He was true talking with muhabbat. Now, you can't tell the person anything at that time. But now, I just want to show you these awliya ikram, buzruganadin, where their minds go. He is busy in his tahajjud namaz. And one person, in truth, he forces himself in the house somehow. Now, he don't want to spoil his tahajjud namaz because he's that deep communication in love with Allah Ta'ala. He's not worried of what's going on. Anyway, now this thief is looking around, he can't find anything. Can't find anything. In the meanwhile, he makes out now, just now, the Junaid then makes salam because the thief is also a little bit namazi. So they could estimate that what's going on. Now he's thinking, now, ek do minute mein salam ho jayega, I won't have a chance. So what he did, he went and hid behind the door. In the meanwhile, one information came, okay, one Abdal died in some area, there is a need of one Abdal. He said, bhai, isko le jao. Isko bana do Abdal. Where these people are, where are we? When I think about it, no comparison, no truck we've got with them. Allah Ba, give us some understanding, some link and connection with these people. What he came with, what intention he came, and how he went up with. Really, it's marvelous, isn't it? That was Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi. We want Islam to spread, really, brothers. I don't say you don't have the right to punish the person who's wronged you. I don't say that. But I just want to show you that preference, forgiving, overlooking, that was the character of Rasulullah. For your personal self, don't resort to anything. For your personal self. Yes, if it is for the defense of haqq, it's a different thing. As for your personal self, as far as possible, I don't say throw your wealth and don't defend yourself. I don't say that. But overlooking, forgiving, forgetting. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi, Mufti Sahib, rahmatullahi, used to quote this incident very, very often. But these are all reflections of the Mubarak quality of Rasulullah, whoever is doing it, all his awliya, they are small, small, minuscule reflections of Rasulullah. It's all coming from the same niche. It's coming from the same fountain. He's on the bank of a river, a boat is about to leave, and there's a group of youngsters. Nice, they're going for a cruise. You know, you have cruise, holiday ship. Eh? So they're going for a cruise. So they want some fun in the cruise. Now what? How to have that fun? How to have that entertainment? They saw, now this is a tramp here. He saw Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatai dressed now with that type of shabby clothing, poor clothing and all that. Don't realize that he was a king just now. and now he's in this state here, shabbily dressed, so let us take him. Hey, this is an excellent person, excellent candidate. We'll have a ball of a time with this person here. Now they said, how to entertain ourselves? All right, they brought him onto the ship. Now they want some fun now. They're joking, and in the joke, they push him from one end. As they're about to fall on one end, another person takes him, throws him on the other end. And they carry on for an hour or so. It's a cruise now, they're moving, they want some entertainment, youngsters. Javani, Diwani. In Gujarati they say, Javani, Javani che. What? Javani, Javani che. Don't think that the Javani and the youth is perpetual. That youth is going to go. Javani, Javani che. So at length he fell down. He fell down. They're pushing him from one side to the other. At length he fell down. Now he's right down. And in that state, now there's a divine communication between him and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak said, if you so consent, in sab diwano ko abhi ghar kar denge. That my wrath has got all these people. If you just consent, I'll drown all these stupid. I'll destroy them just in a second time. Now look, these awliya got the reflection of the beautiful character of Rasulullah Pak Sallam. So what are his words? O Allah Ta'ala, like you have the power to drown the last of them, you have the power also to make them the awliya of the time. And then he made a little bit of a dua. His dua is answered, and the last of them becomes the awliya of the time. This is now the true Mubarak Sunnat of Rasulullah. Forgive, forget. Walakin ya'fu yasfu. Walakin ya'fu yasfu. Forgive, forget. Forgive, forget. This person did this, forgive him. Never mind. He did this, forgive him. Overlook. You see, the Mubarak character of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah grant us that reflection. Reflection of that beauty of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't deserve it, obviously. But we humbly ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to grant us some of that. See, the Sahaba-i-Kiram were in three groups, right? One is the Muhajireen. They were the forerunners. They had given the start. So in Islam also, you get one group that are the forerunners, or any good will find forerunners. Tabligh Jamaat is someone for forerunners. Right? Then you find Khanqa, there is someone that is a forerunner. Then you find Madrasa, there is someone who is a forerunner. Right? So one is that group. In any deeni work, you'll find these three groups. One is the Muhajir, that's the forerunner. Muhajirin al-Awwaleen. Then you have the second one, the Ansar. Ansar is they're cooperating, they're assisting. Right? Someone is starting the work, he's starting, he's initiating. We can't all be initiating, alright? Let's support him. Morally, financially, some ideas, some beautiful suggestions. But we cooperate with him. Can't we do that? We can't we cooperate? Can't we give him a moral support? How are you? I enjoy your work, mashallah. Where can I help you? Well, include us also in that. Some work. I got my van there, I got my highest. Some work. Now, that person also feels, mashallah, if I am one, then there's so many people that are cooperating with me. Doesn't he feel like that? So that's the second group. See, we listen to these Sahaba-i-Kiram, we listen to the different categories, but we don't understand, or we don't use our minds, how we can fit ourselves. So the Muhajir is the forerunner, then is the Ansar. The Ansar is cooperating. In whichever our capacity, when Jamaat, Tabligh Jamaat came to the masjid or to the madrasa, we spoke with them, talked to them, sat in one of the programs. You can't go for the 40 days or whatever else. You can't go for 3 days. Go for that gush, sit in the talim, or take them for tea, some biscuits you brought. Yeah. Although you'll find some hardliners also. So you don't join us, we're not taking your dawat. So just disregard them. Don't say not all Tabligh Jamaat people like that. Don't say that. Yeah. Jamaat you get all types. You get the person that is a buzrug of all the buzruganadi, and you'll get the person that is coming from the gutter also. They'll link him up also. There's a place for everybody. Place and a time for everybody. That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's all types. For the one that is brand new, he doesn't have that understanding. The one that is old, he's got an understanding. Now don't now paint everybody with the same brush. That's a mistake that we make. One, two small mistakes, they want to paint everybody with the same brush. He's the head of the awliya, he's also in the Jamaat. And he is the starter, he's also in the Jamaat. So now we see him differently because he's got that understanding. He doesn't have that understanding. He doesn't have that understanding, so we treat him accordingly. And that you'll have in any type of dini work. whether it's a madrasa, whether it is jamaat, whether it's madrasa, khanqa, you'll have a person who's got no brains, poor chap, very little, very weak. And you'll have the intelligent of the intelligent. Now because of this weak person, you don't paint every word with the same color. Yes, we need to understand, alright, how do we cooperate? In this situation, how do we cooperate? In that situation, how do we cooperate? How do we assist this person here? How do we help him out? Everybody doesn't need a financial help, but yes, we can help out. In some way or the other, we can help. Just one word sometime, it really picks up the person's morale, where he was feeling right down, and you gave him a call, courtesy call, how are you? It's a great thing for a person, very great thing for a person, but we don't understand. Yunus alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, when he recovered from his illness, and Allah Ta'ala restored all his wealth, and doubled it, he restored the wealth, وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ And he doubled his wealth, restored his property, his wealth, everything was lost and everything was returned back to him. So Allah Ta'ala asks him, O Ayyub, which condition was more enjoyable? The condition of misery, of illness, of constraint and difficulty, or this condition where everything has been restored back to you? He says, Allah Ta'ala, now look, this adab also we learn from Anbiya alayhi wasalam. So how he answers, oh Allah, all are from you, all are your favors. This is also your grace, this is also your grace. Whether it was constraint and difficulty, it was also your grace. And whether it's prosperity and abundance, it's also your grace. But when I was in the type of difficulty and hardship, then in the morning and the evening, I used to listen to your voice, oh Allah Ta'ala, Ayyub, teri tabiat kaisi hai, tera mizaj kaisa hai. Oh Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala used to ask me, how do you feel, Ayyub? And that used to pull me the whole day. I used to feel so enamored, you know, so overawed, and so overwhelmed. I couldn't contain myself with happiness. Your voice, I'm listening to it personally. Overwhelmed I used to feel. So, that's what I'm getting at. If anybody is doing some type of dini work, we cooperate with him, help him, assist him. Even if it's a person that dressed up like a Muslim, kurta, topi, it makes a big difference. It makes a real big difference. You know, we had two experiences in the madrasa. One person, we asked him, how did you accept Islam? He said, no, I liked a topi. I used to wear a topi and someone greeted me. So I became a Muslim. Eventually, I became Muslim. I liked that. Someone greeted me. I asked what's the meaning, etc. It's a lengthy story. But this was the starting point. One person, we asked now recently, how you accepted Islam? He said, no, I just liked the azan. I just loved the azan. I loved the azan. And that was the starting point. You see, these are Islamic things. These things coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They got an attraction. So even that which symbolizes Islam, respected. Azan is going to be respected. We don't talk around that time. Whether we are in the wuzu khana, whether we are in the masjid, whether we are driving, whether we are coming to the masjid or not coming. But the least consideration we can show is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me respect it. I'm not looking at muazzin. I'm looking at who's behind the muazzin. Who is calling on? On behalf of whom is he calling? Who is he representing? He's not on his own. He's representing someone else. He's representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a call of Allah ta'ala. It's just the muazzin is just the front. Otherwise, it's Allah ta'ala that is calling. So I'm respecting the word. So anything that is to do with Islam, anything to do with the work of deen, then I'm cooperating, I'm respecting, I'm showing consideration. Anything. So that's the second category. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ And the third category is that category who follows any of these first two. Muhajir or the Ansar, they follow them. They follow them with righteousness, with dignity, with respect, they are following them. So let us not be cut off from any of these three groups. Let us be included into one of these groups, at least the Muhajir, that be the forerunners, or at least we are supporting. Or if we can't be of the boat, then let us just follow them somehow. In whichever way we can follow them, let us follow them. This Ansar, one glaring quality of this was the Ithar. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ You know, to prefer others over yourself. In whichever situation, but prefer others. We hear the stories again and again, repeatedly. The goat head and it goes around seven houses and comes back. Person is dying and whilst he's dying, says, no, pass the water to my brother and he's dying. We hear about the story, family, everybody is starving. And the guest comes in, they'll take all the food. Don't we hear these stories? So some way we can imitate. our family, friends, some neighbor, whether he's a black, non-Muslim, whatever else. But now how can we have the heart that we are eating, stomach full, and that person is starving? Do we have that heart? Hazrat Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib, rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. He's a Shaykh al-Hadith in Dioban for approximately 30 years. In Medina Munawara, in the Masjid al-Nabawi, he had the highest circle for approximately 10 or 15 years. Right? So when he had gone to Medina Munawara, now look at his ways, look at his qualities. They were in constraints initially. Father is in constraint, difficulties, 10, 11 brothers and sisters, big family, constraints. So the food, the genuine food that they need, that had to be also distributed. Half a plate for you, half a plate for you, half a plate for you. Obviously the smaller brother is crying, not sufficient. Maulana would starve and prefer his younger brother. Maulana would starve and prefer his younger brother. Now his acceptance comes after all this. You're looking at the man's acceptance, but you, did you look at the initial life, what he went through? You're starving yourself like that person is starving. So, no, it's my smaller brother. Let him be comfortable, let him be happy. I will starve today. Maulana is teaching hadith in the masjid. He's got students from all around the world, from Tashkent, Samarkand, Bukhara, all these places he's got students. Hundreds of students, right in the masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi, Medina Munawwara, from Marrakesh, Morocco, and Tunis, and all these places. The whole world are his students. And whilst he's conducting the class, and then his father sends a message that you need to bring some cement. We are building the house, so you need to bring cement. Oh, with a smile, cheer, no frown on the face. Imagine now what an audience he's holding. And he says, "This, excuse me for 10 minutes, I've got some urgent work." He's not even saying what work he's got. Why? Because if he says what work he's got, then they're all volunteer to go and do the work. He said, no, it's my work, I'll go and do it. And then he will carry that cement or that sand in his on his back. They didn't have barrows at that time. He's carrying it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, doing that work, whatever his father, the cheer, salam alaikum. He's finished any other work, he's coming back and delivering lessons here. You see that? This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah SAW manifesting itself. This is that akhlaq. And the beauty of the character of Rasulullah is manifesting itself. Many a times you ask, why do we talk about or Buzuganadin? Why don't we talk about the hadith? But we then have to apply the sunnah of Rasulullah according to our circumstance. We don't realize, we don't understand. We just talk about one principle, but we don't know how the application goes. Now the applications come with it now. This is how Rasulullah had conducted himself. In this situation, how he conducted, or how he would have conducted himself, now we got a clear account of it. So we know how to apply it. In whatever situation, we know how to apply it. Al-Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah says, on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will be weighing the deeds, right, there wouldn't be a single person whose deeds will be in conformity with the majesty and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. All your namazes, does it hold any truck with the majesty of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness, the grandeur of Allah Ta'ala, any deed? Your namaz, your rosa, your zakat, anything? Nothing. Says then, Allah Ta'ala will forgive and admit people into Jannah. This person insulted you, you forgave him. This person hurt you, you overlooked it. This person was in need, you helped him out. That person, you knew about the wrongs and you concealed his secret. You didn't go and display and advertise his wrongs. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala only, you just concealed him. You didn't display him. That person was in difficulty and you helped him out. So for these type of akhlaq, things that are related to akhlaq, where you overlooked, you forgave, you showed compassion, you showed mercy and affection, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you, wipe you out, and admit you into Jannah. Do you see this akhlaq and what a weighty thing it is? That's why the hadith says that the weightiest thing on the scale of scale of deeds is good character. The weightiest thing. Okay? To perform the two rakat namaz is easy, or go for hajj is easy. But the person that hurt you, and to for the sake of Allah Ta'ala to say, announce, say, I forgive you, I've got no malice, no grudge. I will try to restore the same relationship, but if I can't, but I forgive you, I make dua for you. I won't have any grudge, any malice, any ill feeling for you. Is that easy? To perform that hajj is easy, But to say, no, I forgive you, for the sake of Allah, I forgive you. I don't have any grudge. I won't demand my right here in this world. I won't demand in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala can understand.